morning. Would you stand with me as we begin our worship time together? Sing with me this morning, O come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. O come, let us adore him. That Jesus Christ is born.
Here this morning. It's very good to see you. Hope you had a good Thanksgiving, and good to be in the house of the Lord today for worship, especially if you're with us for the first time. It's good if you're here with us. If you take one of those cards that are there in front of you and fill that out and put it in the box back at the back, the chest where we've been taking our offering up, if you do that, we'd be grateful, and we're glad that you're with us for worship today. Doug and Hazel, it's good to see y'all here with us for worship. It's good to see you. And we had a big number here last week. Just looking around, I'm not sure how many we have this morning, but last Sunday we had a good number here. It was kind of like a pre-COVID kind of number last week. And so invite some people, look around, and have them be with us through Christmas. I just want to very quickly let you know that if you look in the bulletin, there are lots of things that are going on over the next few weeks, lots of them. Today, I know that play practice will be from 5 to 7 this afternoon, and they're preparing for that. I know that then that next, Lynn, make sure that I'm right here, next Friday night, or next Saturday night will be a long practice. Is that right? No. But we have a long, next Saturday we'll also practice from 10 to 12, right? And then it's after that next week, right? So there's some different times for practices. Just look for those in the bulletin, because I know that we're going to have some longer ones as we get ready for the Christmas play. Also in your bulletin, there is a little green bubble there that has the times for that Christmas play. On that Saturday, just swap. It's December 11th at 6, all right? We're not meeting here at 11 o'clock at night, okay? So if there's confusion there, be ready. And then, but those are the dates. Invite some people to be with us for that Christmas play. And I know the kids are working hard, and they'll be excited for you to invite people to be with them, invite parents, teachers, grandparents. We want a lot of people here on those play nights to be able to share the gospel with them as far as our play goes. Another thing that kind of gets started around this time of year is that we start promoting and talking about our Lottie Moon Christmas offering. Our Lottie Moon Christmas offering is an offering that we receive in order to help foreign missionaries that serve around the world through our Southern Baptist Convention, through the Cooperative Program and the International Mission Board. I've got a video that we're just going to show that will kind of get us into the idea, just an intro video about Lottie Moon.
We all lead busy lives, but if we could just stop everything and take a bird's eye view, a little higher. There. Now we can see the multitude. We are fueled by a shared vision to bring the name of Christ to those who have yet to hear. So we move forward to extreme places, corners of the world that have no access to the gospel. We train missionaries, send them out together, and pray that God's grace be known. We help the hurting, comfort the dying, give hope to the displaced, and have seen thousands come to faith in Christ. We are able to do so much more together than if we were chasing this vision alone. This is our common effort. Together.
That video really highlights the idea that we can do more together than we can alone. And that's the idea of the cooperative program and our missions giving the way that it is. What makes Lottie Moon so special is that those offerings that we do at Easter and Christmas, none of that is administrative stuff. All of that goes to missionaries on the field, goes straight to the field. And so there's some envelopes here on this table here and envelopes back by the chest in the back. And even though, like on Christmas, the Sunday before Christmas, or I guess it'll be the 26th is when we'll actually be doing that offering, we'll receive our Lottie Moon offering on that Sunday. But all through the month, just make sure that it's in one of those envelopes. You can give to that all through the month. Just make sure that it's in one of those envelopes. Or if you give online, that you use the right drop-down tab and find it instead of doing general fund, that you find the tab marked for our missions offering. Let's say a word of prayer and just ask that the Lord be in our service this morning. Speak to our hearts. Doug, would you lead us as we pray this morning?
They will call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Let's sing that chorus together, Emmanuel. continue to lift up that name, Emmanuel, Jesus, who came, God with us. Let's sing together, O come, Emmanuel. Their songs repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men, and the bells are ringing like a choir. They're singing in my heart. I hear. In despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said. For hate is strong and mocks the song. No peace on earth, goodwill to man. But the bell. Like a choir, they're singing.
Join with me in your Bible in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 1. It's where we will be this morning. One more message in this series of messages about God's mercy. And then next week, this Scrooge will start preaching Christmas messages. We have been looking at this idea of unrationed mercy, and the idea of unrationed mercy is this, that you and I tend to be selective with our mercy. We tend to decide who we want to dole it out to and how much we want to dole out. But when we look to Scripture, what we find is God has been merciful to us. God defines himself, first of all, as a God of mercy. He says that he is merciful and that he is gracious and patient and long-suffering. God tells us that, but then he demonstrates it. We experience his mercy through our salvation and through dark times when it doesn't seem like God's even there. It turns out his mercy is working on our behalf. The times when God is even disciplining us, he's showing us his mercy. We've looked at this idea of God's mercy, that none of it is deserved. No mercy that we receive from him is deserved. So if we try to use that as a criteria, they don't deserve my mercy. Well, any mercy that you've received, you haven't deserved either. And so if we kind of explore that and then expound on it to think about our daily lives and the people that we show mercy to, we've seen a demonstration of that with the Good Samaritan. We talked about this idea that we are to even show mercy and love our enemies. Today, the title of the message is Conduits of Mercy. We want to finish out with this idea that any mercy that comes to us in order that it might pass through us and go to someone else. That's the idea. You find this in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to be reading verses 3 and 4 together. Let's start. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. This may be a familiar passage of Scripture to you. Many people in our church, it will be familiar to you, because the Halls had kind of adopted this verse and shared it with us. Would you guys come and join me up here? I'm going to ask them a few questions. I want them to tell their story to you because I think they can tell it better than I can. You understand? Oh, okay. You're going to let her be nervous up here by herself. I see how it is, Junior. I see. Here you go. So I want you to tell them, first of all, tell them all, kind of just summarize for them the circumstances that kind of led you to this verse, all right? Let them know. Because some people know you very well. Some people have no idea what's going on. So tell them what your story.
Okay, in 1998, I was given a diagnosis of cancer. In 2011, I was given the second diagnosis of cancer. In 2015, I was given a third diagnosis of cancer. And then in 2017, I was given the fourth diagnosis of cancer.
Okay, so tell me the moment, like how did God use this verse? Because through all those instances, this verse has been special to you. Tell me how the Lord led you to these two verses and this idea of his comfort being given to you.
Okay, the first verse he pointed out to me was in Psalms 31:15, the first six words, "My times are in thy hands." And from there, I thought that was such a comfort. So I looked up the word comfort in the back of the Bible, read all the verses. But these verses, 2 Corinthians, stood out most of all. And it just so happened, I don't know if it was David's idea or Paige's idea, but they came up with the bracelets that they gave out with that verse on it. So I took them up to the cancer center where I was taking chemo. And at the time, it was packed with a lot of people. And I would wait until I was hooked up with my chemo, and I would look around, and it was as if God would say, give a bracelet to that person or that person. And not once did I see anybody throw one in a trash can. No one said, no, I don't want one. And in fact, they all took them, and some of them even got on their tablets and looked to see what the verse said.
Yeah. So just out of curiosity, is there anybody in the room today that has one of those bracelets on your arm? Okay, who has one or has given them out? Raise your hand if you've given a bracelet to somebody that has that verse on it. Okay, good deal. So this verse became important for you, and then we kind of adopted it. This has been several years ago that we adopted that and said, we're gonna give these bracelets out as a means of, you know, if you're going through a tough time, we want you to recognize that God has comforted us in the past and wants to be. Tell me kind of some results. Tell us some, do you know any stories of people that have received those bracelets, of maybe how those things have been a comfort, how these verses have been a comfort to others after God showed it to you?
Yes, one of them was a lady that I met. I was asked to talk to her by a nurse, and she passed away last year in March, and at her funeral, she said this was her favorite verse.
Yeah.
And then one day while I was taking the treatment and giving out the braces, I got a call from the administrator of the office. And she said, are you the one giving out braces? And the first thing I thought of, oh, no, they're going to tell me I can't do this anymore. Instead, she said, you'll never know what a blessing these bracelets have been to all the patients that are here. So I don't know how many people they reached, but there was one family that even went out and had T-shirts, couches, everything made with this on it, and came there and had their picture made.
That's great. That's great. Give Linda a hand. She was nervous to stand and talk to you. Good deal. I love
my
you.
Comfort zone.
He does that every once in a while. Gets us out of our comfort zone, doesn't he? So I wanted you to hear that from Linda, because here's the thing. We hear a cancer diagnosis. Listen, not one, times four. And we say, where in the world is God's mercy in this? And the truth is that diagnosis, and as much pain and as much problem as that has been for the halls, the truth is that the blessing that others have received from that diagnosis is immeasurable.
Amen.
Is immeasurable. We will never know it this side of eternity. We will never know it. When we get the diagnosis, it's hard to see it, right? I think it's important that we praise God when we have opportunities like this where we can look back, where we can look back with hindsight and we can say, it's discouraging to hear that diagnosis then, but to see how God has used it through the years, literally, right? We need to hang on to that. And that, what she's sharing, that story that she's sharing is a demonstration of what it means to be a conduit of God's mercy. Linda is unable to do that at chemo if God has not comforted her heart in the private moments when she's alone and she's wrestling with that C word on her own, right? It's unable to happen publicly if it hasn't happened privately. You and I must recognize that what we find in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 is a progression for us. It's moving from God, the source, to us, the recipient, and it's passing through us to recipients that we may not even see or recognize or know, because God, through this network and chain, is revealing His mercy through conduits. He is the source. Let's look at the passage. I just want to walk through it together so that we maybe have a good understanding of it and see some things in it, and maybe see how God would want to use you and I as conduits of His mercy, ways that He has used us as conduits of His mercy, so that we might be more receptive to Him doing that in the future as well. I think when you start in verse number three, that's where we want to begin. Verse number three, I think what's important here is that we recognize God's mercy. First thing we need to do in this passage is, it's about recognizing His mercy. And the reason I say that is that in this first verse that we'll look at, verse three, it's establishing the fact that God is the source of all mercy, right? In fact, there's an interesting phrase there. Do you see it in the middle of the verse? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies. It's really important. That expression, Father of, we use it in this way often, but the Jewish people for sure saw this expression as being originating from, coming from, right? So this idea that you and I might think about, for instance, that people in our society we will refer to as the father of something, right? So like Hippocrates is the father of medicine, right? Modern medicine traces its roots back to an originator, right? And even doctors will take a Hippocratic oath, right? This idea that we see him as the father of modern medicine, that idea. Or the idea that even in the world of like art or something like that, we may see like the father of impressionism, like Claude Monet. We trace it back to a person. We trace it back to an originator, back to the source. And what verse 3 is establishing is God is the source of all mercies. So we made a transition. We made a turn in this sermon series where we started thinking about God's mercy, how it related to His justice, how it fit into His nature and character, how He reveals it to us. And we talked a lot about God's mercy, but halfway through we made this turn where we started thinking about the way that we show mercy to other people. But any good Samaritan moment that you and I have ever had did not start with us. You and I are not the father, the mother of all mercies. God is revealing himself as the source. Think for just a minute about, I thought it would be instructive for us to take some time to think about how God shows his mercy in our day-to-day lives, right? Like if you think about that, Linda tells that story about a very mundane idea of God led me to this verse. I read that verse, led me to another verse. I just looked in the back of my Bible, right? What she was describing was not the clouds parted, the heavens opened up, the sun shined down, this beam of light was on this particular verse in my Bible. It's very important that we recognize how God works so that we see Him as the source of all mercy. Think about for just a minute how God does this. One way that God does this is just simply by His presence, day in and day out. In the passage, it says in verse 3 that He's the Father of mercies. He's the God of all comfort. That word comfort in the Greek is parakaleo. You may know this from other places in Scripture, but the idea of of parakaleo is to come alongside. This is a verb describing the idea of coming alongside a person and being there for them, right? Supporting, sustaining, helping that person. You find it in other places in this particular book. 2 Corinthians, it's full of this message of comfort. And so to comfort as a verb, you find 18 times in the book. Comfort used as a noun, you find 11. And the idea of this parakaleo, the idea is it is the presence of a person being a comfort to another. You also are probably familiar with this verse where John, in John 14, where Jesus is speaking about the Holy Spirit. And a lot of these verses about the Holy Spirit will be helpful for us. We're going to look at several of them today. But this one in John 14 and verse 16, this is from the ESV, which reads, where Jesus says, "And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper to be with you forever." And the word helper that's here is that same word, paraclete, parakleo. It's the same root word. And the idea of that word is, ESV uses helper, but you know that other translations, if you have a different translation here, yours may say comforter. Yours may say counselor, right? This is the idea. It's one coming alongside and essentially cheering on the idea, lifting up, helping the one, right? We believe this to be true about the Holy Spirit. We have that hymn. It's not in our blue books, I don't think, but it's in some of the older ones, right? Oh, spread the tidings round wherever man is found. The Comforter has come. It's that same idea, right? Spread the message. Where human hearts are sad, where they are low, He comes alongside and He lifts up. And He does this by His presence. He doesn't do this from a distance. He comes alongside and does this. This is a mercy of God. What about the idea that He enlightens us? When we read His Word, like what Linda's describing is, I read a verse and God spoke to me from it. Have you ever had those moments? Verses that you've read in church several times, but then the Holy Spirit uses it and speaks to you in a particular way on a particular day, and that verse transforms. It has new meaning to you because God has revealed something to you in it, right? In John 14 again, speaking of the Holy Spirit, He says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things, and He will bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. So don't let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Do you see the connection there? He's going to instruct you. He's going to guide your heart, and He's going to remind you of the things that I have said. When you and I are having distressing times, and we call to mind a verse, right? That's not us. That's the Holy Spirit doing that. It's Him instructing us on the things that He says. It's referring us back to this truth that we can stand on, and that is a mercy of God to remember the truth that we have to stand on in the middle of difficult things. How about this one? The idea that He convicts us. That's one thing the Holy Spirit does. And that conviction, it hurts. It's a mercy. That's right. In John chapter 16, same discussion. Jesus sharing with His disciples about the Holy Spirit says, "And when He comes, He will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged.